Good morning. My name is Ray Wright. I work at the University of Missouri at Columbia, and I'm giving this presentation for my boss, Tim, who has successfully blown out a replacement knee. So it's going to be probably not as smooth as Tim had it prepared, but here we go. At the university, one of the first things, I looked at where the section we're in, and we're in production ag section here, and where I work is a research farm. And it's basically the beginning, and this is Tim's in charge of these farms. It's the beginning of a lot of research for production ag. And I kind of, what this talk is going to be over is kind of some of the challenges we have supporting the agriculture movement right now, if you would. Side button or bottom?
Down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So 15 years ago, way back in the good old days, these research stations in Missouri, they're different depending on where you go, but these research stations were well funded by the universities, by the states. We had to, our focus was to concentrate on our researchers and their needs for researching. We supported them. And over time, with constraints of budgets and just shifting in management, those funds that we had for running the farms and centers were dropped down from the university, and yet the prices to do these were still running up. Our challenge was, okay, how do we make money? And right there starts a huge problem, because we have to be able to now fund ourselves pretty well, and we'll go over some of the issues there in the talk, yet we're also still need to meet that mission of taking care of our researchers. And if anybody works with people that are dependent upon you to move their careers forward, and you have to move in a different direction, it adds quite a bit of a challenge. The expenses, you know, labor's gone up. Fuel and equipment, if you can imagine when the gas was at $5 a gallon, that has to come out of the funds that we get off of bulk sales now. We didn't have a supply for that. And basically, everything's starting to go up as far as cost. While the previous slide showed you the support from the university is going down. Tuition and state funds. This statement down here was kind of amazing, but it's correct. In Missouri, we're $102 million less in state funds in 2017 than we were in 2002. Now, in 2000, I've been at the university a long time, and I can tell you there's never been, hey, we're doing well, we've always been, oh, we got to tighten our belts and stuff. So were we replacing equipment? Were we modernizing ourselves in 2002? In a lot of ways, we were just barely keeping up. And then we had that shift where we really had to start funding ourselves. Now, We like to think of ourselves as being on the cutting edge of research, because when you have your professors develop ideas and techniques and they get funded, they come out to the farm and then they incorporate those techniques into the real world, into the ground. And part of that is showing their funding folks, you know, this is what we're doing. And our area was fairly dilapidated. Well, I've got some video or some slides later on. It was fairly dilapidated. We finally got this conference building that was at no cost to us through magic, I think. We weren't supposed to get it, then all of a sudden we got it. And it was really one of the best things we could do at that farm, because now we can bring in Pioneer, Monsanto, we can bring in all sorts of different groups, and they can come meet out there and actually know what we're doing. And if they're funding a project, they can say, hey, can I go take a look at that? Come on, let's go. So that was a much needed component. However, when they were designing that, the main thing I was looking at, and I was telling my boss this, who's going to pay for all this? Who's going to pay for the heating and cooling? That's $15,000 a year just to keep this building running. And now that's back on top of the shoulders of the farms and centers. So that, to make that profitable, you have to start going into basically renting it out to general public, and then you get into the catering business instead of research. So our answer was to start renting ground, and that was for our bulk sales. Bradford Farm is the one that we're talking about right now. And Bradford Farm, as far as research goes, it was running at 90% capacity. So there really wasn't any more ground. The university wasn't interested in picking up any more ground for us, so it comes back on our shoulders again. How are we going to do that? Fortunately, we started renting. A couple of our neighbors sold the place, and the group that bought the place just wanted us to rent it. And that really relieved us. But now we're competitive farming instead of supporting our researchers, which in the researchers' eyes, they're getting madder and madder about this because they come out and want to use one of our machines. Well, it's over on that farm over there, and you're just going to have to wait till we get back. It really caused quite a dilemma. You know, the backlog of repairs, we develop cutting-edge things. This building right here is the physiologist put it together. I believe it's a multi-million dollar system that actually runs on tracks. So when it starts to rain, it's a drought simulator. It senses the rain coming, and it'll move this greenhouse over top of plots to maintain the drought. Inside there is our backbone of the farm, which is a 40/20 tractor. It's a great tractor. I love it. I'd never want to get rid of it. But it kind of shows you what we've got. The buildings we're in are 1960s at best, shop buildings that have been insulated and electric for offices and stuff. I was there for about 5 years before I got heat, and I just put a little space heater in there. So when you're trying to be that icon for the public eye to see, it's really hard when you can't even afford to do these upgrades. The combine, this is a 1986 plot combine. Absolutely love it, but that combine's probably worth about, with the electronics, I'd say $15,000 at best. And I think the new combines are $200,000-$300,000. They're completely out of our reach, and there's no way we're going to be able to achieve that with the bulk sale. Now the people that have succeeded, and they keep up with equipment, are the people that are service oriented. We have a very healthy variety testing group out there, and they do private testing for companies that are promoting their seed. They produce a book that they advertise, you know, winners and losers across the state on yield. So a lot of our farmers really depend on that variety testing. But so they get a lot of funds coming in. I'm not saying they're rich. They definitely always need new equipment. They're traveling all over the state with this. But they're the ones that can come in and start picking up new equipment. And right now I'm trying to find funds to buy one of their old combines that they don't ever use with old electronics, because it's far better than what we've dealt with before. Another big challenge we're running into is when new faculty come along. You've got a seasoned professor there, a faculty member that's doing well, has got plenty of funds, has got a huge operation going, and all of a sudden a new guy comes in, or a new gal, and they don't have but $40,000 to start. How can we... We've already got a problem right there, because we've got to maintain a funding source coming in, and now we're having to give up that bulk to someone who can't really afford any kind of plot charges. Each step we do, we step away from our core mission, is the way I view it. I had to make sure the dean wasn't in here today, so I could go ahead and talk about this stuff. It kind of forced us to do unique things. Like one of the things I'll do is pull grants from the Conservation Department, Missouri Department of Ag, small grants, and do projects on edge of field, someplace where someone doesn't really want to do research, but I'm able to generate funds to keep my position there, and therefore I can come out and help out as much as I can with the day-to-day. So once again, we're looking at that paradigm shift that's going on. Now, with the university, they always seem to be looking into funds that people have, and if you're on campus, you have to pay for parking, you have to pay for phones, everything. It's just they get you for everything. Well, when you're out on the farm, we had to start charging for things like irrigation. So once again, you've got somebody who's budgeted out 3 year studies, and all of a sudden they're getting stuck with irrigation. You lose your crop if you don't pay for it, or we can do it and your crop will be fine. It's a very challenging situation. So any specialty services we're having to charge for as well. The big question is, you know, University of Missouri, it's actually got farms and centers all over the state, probably about 13 of them. Well, 13 different managers. You got to get some unity there. Now, those out-of-state farms or the out-of-Columbia farms, that's harder for the research to go to because you got to pick up your equipment, haul it, and, you know, 3-4 hours. It becomes challenging. It's needed for getting into different environments, but it becomes very challenging. So they end up having a lot of bulk ground that's not used. And so they don't really feel the sting as bad as people that are closer to Columbia, where that research ground's all being utilized. And in one way, I think it creates that island effect. You know, if you've isolated yourself away from your main entity, you start operating as an island, and that gets to be kind of a challenge as well. So, you know, one of the things that we do is we have this outreach effort. As part of the land grant, it's not dictated that we do extension work, but it is part of the land grant system where we have to get our information out. And also, we have to be known by the community and favored by the community. So we do a lot of community events. All right, we have a tomato festival. I think there's about 120 varieties of tomatoes that we plant out there. It takes up manpower, a little bit of ground, and it sure takes up a lot of space when everybody comes out to test those things. We do tours for kids. Every kid gets a pumpkin, and we have 16,000 people a year come out there sometimes. It's a tremendous effort to keep this going. Meanwhile, our core mission at the farms and centers are looking at this saying, well, why are you on a wagon giving kids tours when you should be out here getting this ground ready for us? We're kind of getting into one of those situations, and it's pushback. Thank goodness the administration supports what we do because there's plenty of complaints going to them about it. But as long as we're generating finances and able to maintain ourselves, they're pretty happy with us. Let's see. Okay, the charges across the state. So if you are in, say, southeast Missouri, and this is hypothetical, I don't want to pin any of our guys, and when somebody comes from central Columbia to work down there, and they're pretty needy, they need this, they need that, it disrupts your ebb and flow for that day. So the big concern we had is some of these guys were wanting to charge tremendous amounts of plot charges to get people down there. I mean, if they to keep people away from there, so they could keep their bulk sales up, and they wouldn't have to break out new ground, and their flow of the day wouldn't be disrupted. Well, we really had a problem with that because if somebody wanted to charge $250 an acre in the Boot Hill, and we're trying to charge $150 an acre, that's going to put more pressure on us, on our resources. So it just created an interesting dynamic. I got 2 minutes? Okay. We settled on $150 an acre. I can believe that'll change in the minute the thumbs come off some of our managers because they're trying to get enough funds to, if we have a bad crop year, that we can actually stay viable for another year, to get another crop in. You know, this includes the basic land charge, P&K, some tillage work, and the shop work is always needed, but that's very negotiable depending on who you are. Some people think they got free range of the shop, and some people think they can't even go in there. So it just, once again, adds some challenges. We don't do nitrogen. Special fees if you need somebody to help plant. There's fees tacked on that. All these were not budgeted in. So if you're writing a budget and you're saying $150 and next thing you know you get socked with irrigation, you get socked with this, that, and the other, it's devastating. It really causes a lot of turbulence. Well, with that, I've got 30 seconds. So, yes?
I'm in Arkansas, so we're not far. We've got a research station just basically across the border. I work in corn, and we went to this feed system in 2017. So for an acre of corn, if I wanted the research stations to do a lot of the work, it was going to cost me about $500 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
So over your experience over time, the researchers that have their own equipment have the funds to get good equipment, are they leaving the research stations and going elsewhere?
Yes. But it also, you know, those guys are pretty big projects. So they have students that need to be there too. It creates that us and them kind of mentality. And when you do have choice ground out there, if you got somebody who's going to pay, in your case, $500 an acre, and you got somebody who will pay $100 an acre, that person in charge of the farm, he's probably going to say, I need the $500 an acre. Should not have to. He should say, I'm here to support all researchers. How can I help? But that's kind of what we shifted away. And I don't want this to sound negative. To me it is. I mean, it sounds like I've been up here whining this whole time. But it's really a situation where, in our case, agriculture systems are changing. And just kind of wanted to bring it together. And I love hearing ideas because, like I said, we're kind of breaking into this. Some people want to charge a lot more. They think their time's worth so much more. And some people don't really want to charge because they want to get people up there. So it just creates tremendous amounts of conflict that I'm shocked that we have to deal with.